Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on Veterans Day, 11/11/2024. Happy Veterans Day to all of those who are veterans joining us on the podcast. I'm Ian DeEubank. This podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here today with the news, including an Indiana farmer receiving an award very appropriate to talk about here on Veterans Day, and the challenge of distinguishing between two soybean diseases. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin still has sunshine and dry weather the next few days. And on Friday, the markets after the USDA update. What did they do? We'll have the numbers and Brian Basting market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
An Indiana farmer receiving a new Veterans Award from Farm Bureau and the differences between two diseases that are affecting Indiana soybeans. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, there's a brand new award to honor veterans who are farmers, and that very first award is going to a retired Army colonel from right here in Indiana.
Just wanted to give back to veterans. I just enjoy helping them and seeing them get to a good place after they come back.
And that's Joe Ricker, who operates At Ease Orchard near the town of Wilkinson in Hancock County. He's also the first recipient of the Veteran Farmer Award of Excellence, which is presented by American Farm Bureau. The new award recognizes veterans for excellence in farming who are also positively impacting their local communities. Ricker retired after 30 years in the Army and then opened a farm to help other veterans.
So I did about a year in Iraq and I did about a year in Afghanistan. A lot of the people I served with always mentioned beekeeping, and I picked up that passion. I decided an orchard just blends so nicely with the bees, you know, as a pollinator, and it kind of just took off.
Ricker says he understands the struggles that many veterans face.
We've been in different environments that most people that aren't veterans, sometimes they understand, sometimes they don't, but it's a difficult environment to try to adjust to. And then with that said, you know, being amongst veterans, you kind of open up a little more. You can say, hey, do you remember this? You kind of have that camaraderie where people understand what you're going through.
He says that beekeeping and working on a farm can be therapeutic for veterans.
I think it helps veterans. It gives them a mission. It gives them a reason to wake up. It's a little bit like the military, and there's always a little bit of danger in it, because no matter how thick your bee suit is, you could still get stung.
At Ease Orchard is a nonprofit organization, so the money that's raised goes back to the farm to help those veterans in need.
We do have a couple Indiana State Department of Agriculture grants that also help fund us, but we want to continue on, make it sustainable where people come back from overseas or get out of the service, have the opportunity then to get into beekeeping if that's what's right for them.
American Farm Bureau will present Ricker with the Veteran Farmer Award at their upcoming convention in San Antonio this January. To learn more about At Ease Orchard and how Ricker and his team are helping veterans in need, visit ateaseorchard.com. Well, a new disease is making soybean management a bit more difficult in Indiana. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
Sudden death syndrome has been one of the leading causes of soybean yield loss for years. But how does red crown rot, a newer and rising disease threat, relate to SDS? Matt Geiger, Agronomic Service Representative with Syngenta, explains.
Sudden death syndrome is a disease that gets in your soybean crop early in the season. You don't often see expressions of the disease until late reproductive stages, even though the infection happened months and months ago that caused a sudden death. You see this leaf scorch late in the season, it can wipe the plants out pretty rapidly because it basically makes them shut down. Once you see this foliar leaf scorch late in the season, the pods won't fill all the way. You might abort some pods toward the top of the plant as well.
He calls red crown rot SDS's nastier cousin and says the challenge is distinguishing between the two because the symptoms are similar.
You get the question, oh, can I spray a fungicide to help me with this? And, you know, unfortunately, it's too late for both of those pathogens. You need to control both of those with a seed treatment. You want to prevent them from getting in the plants when they're young.
Geiger says growers do have a solid option to protect against SDS, red crown rot, and soybean cyst nematode.
We've actually got a product that's an all-in-one. It's called Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment. Very good product, and it's also very safe on the soybeans. It actually has some plant health benefits as well, so you can actually see bigger roots with this product.
To learn more about Saltro, visit ysaltro.com. Always read and follow label instructions. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And on behalf of all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, we want to honor all of our veterans this Veterans Day and thank you for your service and sacrifice for our country. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. No major changes in thought process here to start the week. We are looking at a dry set of days today, tomorrow, and I'm going to throw in most of Wednesday now. Full sunshine today and tomorrow. I think as we get into Wednesday, we'll see clouds starting to increase, particularly late afternoon. That leads to a frontal boundary that comes through for Thursday, anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain, 80% coverage across the Hoosier State. I think most of us are going to be half an inch or less, so it's not a big rain maker. We go back to dry weather behind it for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mild as well, no major cool down right after that frontal passage. Next week, we start off with significant rain and maybe a few thunderstorms for Monday, midday, and afternoon, right on through Tuesday, midday. Right now, I'm going to pencil in rain totals of a quarter to maybe 1 inch, coverage around 90% of the Hoosier State. Behind it, we are drier for Tuesday night through Wednesday and Thursday, but I'm also seeing colder air trying to dive southward. It's not going to be a brutal cold surge, but maybe we get temperatures back close to normal by the time we get into the start of that third week of November, maybe even a little ahead of that late next week. A longer term, I'm just not seeing a lot. Yes, there's some cool air around, but I don't think we go below normal anytime soon. And I also think this cool air mass is going to modify a little bit. Interestingly enough, though, late next week, I do see cold air diving all the way down into northern Arizona and northwest New Mexico. So that could spell a little bit of change in airflow across the region as we move through the extended 11 to 16 day forecast window. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
USDA report day and a finish mostly on the high side in corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up and market analysis to start. We get that from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I spoke with him near the end of the session. Brian, USDA spoke in the November report and there was little market reaction, but where we did see a change was a sell-off in beans, which turned higher after the report. USDA did lower yield on corn and soybeans, but the soybean number also led to a drop in ending stocks. Trade seemed to like that number somewhat.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always, Andy. We're really looking at a surprise for the November report. The yield for beans was dropped 1.4 bushel per acre nationally compared to what it was in October. That's a pretty strong decline this time of year. Usually we don't see that strong of a decline this late in the harvest period. But nice to see, though, there were some exceptions. One of them was Indiana. We did see a two bushel increase in the Indiana soybean yield. The bottom line is yes, the carryout for beans for 24-25, Andy, was below the trade estimate. In fact, below the lowest trade estimate was 475 to 585. It came in at 470 with that reduction in the size of the crop. Size of the crop was down 121 million bushels from what it was in October. Carryout at 470. Just remind your listeners, though, to be cautious reading too much into that. Yes, it's mildly supportive here. We're seeing a little bit of a bounce. We saw a big bounce after the report, but that's been scaled back here towards the end of the day here. We're still looking at that carryout number of 470, Andy, being 37% higher than what it was last year. So we're still building stocks here, potentially. A long way to go in this crop year. And, of course, they're just planting the crops in Brazil and Argentina. So a long way to go. But on paper, still not a bullish scenario there. So strongly encourage your listeners, Andy, in my opinion, to get control of those 24 soybean bushels with a floor underneath them. Ways to leave that upside open, I'd suggest, though, with purchase of a call option, for example, or you could purchase a put option. We want to maintain flexibility with that entire South American growing season. But to summarize things, Andy, yes, the biggest surprise I'd say in the report was the lower-than-expected soybean crop, lower-than-expected soybean carryout. But just some caution notes there in terms of what the meaning may be long-term.
And the actual yield numbers that they came out with, your opinion on those, I'd like to get 183.1 on corn, 51.7, as you mentioned, on soybeans. Your thought about those numbers and really where they stand historically?
That's what we picked up toward the end of the growing season, Andy. We did pick up that the dry end of the growing season across a majority of the Midwest did hurt the bean yield. It's still a pretty stout bean yield. It's still a record yield, as a matter of fact, in Indiana there. So we're not looking at a bad yield by any means, but maybe our expectations, particularly as we move further east, or beg your pardon, further west, they reduced the yields in Iowa and Illinois compared to what they were in October. But regardless here, I think those yields were pretty much in line with what we were thinking, a little bit lower bean yield, still a stout corn yield. It's a record corn yield. It's down from October. Was about 183.7 in October, was 183.1 here in November. That's still a record, Andy. So maybe again, maybe just a touch off the top end of what the corn yield could have been if we'd have had some ideal grain fill there, added some test weight at the end, but we didn't get that rain, but still a stout corn yield, record yield. And record yield I'd add here in Indiana too, Andy, up 7 bushels. Compared to what it was there in October. It's now forecast at 209 bushels an acre. So really a credit to your listeners there for an outstanding crop they brought home here in 2024.
Brian Basting with us, economist at Advanced Trading. And I know you want to touch on crop insurance, a special note today.
Just a final note to your listeners, Andy, that the crop insurance prices for harvest, of course, have been set here during the month of October. That downside price protection that crop insurance does afford, therefore, is no longer there. And just remind your listeners there to get control of their 2024 corn and bean bushels, get a floor underneath those unpriced bushels, and leave the upside open, though. Flexibility is very important because we've got the entire growing season in South America as well as our growing season next spring and summer.
That is insight from Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Here are the Friday settlements up all day or for the most part in the corn market, and a finish 3.5 cents higher for the December contract, 431. March corn, 444 and a quarter, up 3.75. May up 3.75, 451.5. January beans, 4 cents higher, 10.30 and a quarter. March up 6, 10.43 and a half. And 10.56 and three quarters on the May, up 6 cents. A penny up, December wheat, 572.5. And a penny and a half down, March contract, 587.5. The meats lower, December live cattle down 212, 183.70, and December lean hogs 80.42, down 77. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.